Well, good morning, friends, and welcome once again to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a terrific day. It's raining again down here in Florida. It seems to be raining every single day lately. We got rid of our, you know, mid-afternoon thunderstorms, and we just swapped them out for just dreary drizzle all day, which has been an interesting time. And you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us. The Team Health Masters site is up and running hot, the new 2.0 that I just rolled out last week, so be sure to check it out. And grab the Sublime B12, it's still on sale.
Tell them how to use the app. There's a little thing you have to, the Shopify app.
The Shop app? Oh, I can pull it back up here again. Yeah, you can go to the Shop Pay. Let me see here. I had it pulled up earlier. Put me on the spot.
I'm sorry, buddy. I should have.
I didn't have it up.
I forgot about telling you that before
starting. Yeah, you go to Shop Pay right here.
Here we go, watch.
Shop app.
Uh-huh. Most of the way to shop online.
Yep. And then you type in Health Masters. Whoops. Boom. There you go.
Okay.
On the app at Shop Pay. Right
so
there.
So what you do when you go to the Shop Pay app, you basically have to type in Health Masters
yeah,
first.
But if you have an account, you can set up where you have your favorite accounts too, though.
Okay.
You can set it up so this Health Masters is one of your favorite stores you go to. And you can click right there. You can still do the subscribe and save for 5% off, one-time purchase, or you can just take it straight to the website. If you want to go right there, it'll take you right to the website.
Oh, I love
it. It doesn't get easier.
I've been using that vitamin C powder every day. I had it again this morning.
It's good stuff.
It's easy. I don't have to swallow pills. That's great.
Yeah.
I've already gone through the first bottle. I'm going to get another bottle this week.
Don't take on my inventory.
Oh, interesting article. And it's kind of tying together with some stuff that was said earlier this week and last week. Trump has now signed an order to impose federal penalty for burning or desecrating the U.S. flag. Now, the Supreme Court has already said that you can burn the U.S. flag, freedom of expression.
Yeah.
But President Donald Trump signed an executive order on Monday instructing the Department of Justice to prosecute instances of the American flag burning and desecration that could incite a riot. So he threw the could incite a riot into it.
Well, you got the arson factor into it, too, man. I mean, you're lighting up a flag in the middle of the street trying to incite violence and burning the flag and arson. I mean, dude, you need to go to jail.
Trump emphasized the Supreme Court, which protected flag burning under the First Amendment in the 1989 ruling of Texas versus Johnson case, and has not ruled that burning a flag in a manner that can incite a riot or violence is constitutionally protected. In other words, he's changed the law to say that it's going to incite a riot. President Donald Trump signs an executive order to restore respect, pride, and sanctity to the American flag. Now, here's the odd part about this stuff. Now, I'm not saying that this is interconnected, but I will say this is all happening about the same time. Some people are saying that we have a judge now that has signed that it's illegal to burn the Israeli flag in the United States. It's a hate crime. It's a racist hate crime.
Why would that be relevant to us? That's their flag.
Well, I got that. But it's funny that Trump comes in now and says this about the American flag.
Yeah.
And then now they're saying this is a false claim about burning the Israeli flag based on a toll report and they reached Congress. U.S. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene repeats falsity that it's illegal to burn Israeli flag in the U.S., highlighting how online disinformation can reach the halls of power. But she gives a caveat in here, Austin, and this is what's interesting about this because it's very similar to what Trump signed about the U.S. flag. It says the Times of Israel reported last week that a judge in federal court in Washington, D.C., in a civil lawsuit had equated the Israeli flag with Jewish identity. The headline of the article was shared widely by right-wing influencers online who falsely claimed that the judge had made it illegal to burn the Israeli flag. It is now illegal to burn an Israeli flag in the United States, but still legal to burn an American flag. We are an occupied nation, some people are saying on X, echoing a claim that made by the array of influencers with many hundreds of thousands of followers. The judge's opinion did not create a new criminal law and does not apply to legitimate protests protected by the First Amendment. The judge's statement and the article made no mention of burning Israeli flags, which remains legal. The case law is clear that burning any flag is perfectly legal, with the exception, here we go, that like anything else, it cannot be done with the purpose of threatening someone with violence. Matthew Mahin, one of the lawyers representing the plaintiff in the case, told the Times of Israel, you can't burn any flag, including the American flag, if it could be considered a true threat or incitement of imminent lawless action. Now, it's interesting because when you see that, you start thinking, well, that's kind of what Trump just said. So is he doing that basically because of the blowback, because of this? It's interesting. The judge in the case, Trump appointee Trevor McFadden, equated the flag with the Jewish people because the flag bears the Star of David, the symbol of Judaism. What McFadden's ruling does accomplish is that if you burn a Jewish flag with requisite intent to intimidate, and it's clearly illegal to burn someone else's property without their permission, that would be considered labeled as an anti-Semitic hate crime. It does say that. So what they're doing in this article, no, they're twisting it.
They're spinning it.
No, just I'm going to read it again. What McFadden's ruling does accomplish is that if you burn a Jewish person's Israeli flag, you've got a Jewish person. They can't call them a Jew because that's racist if you say call them a Jew. You got a Jew running around protesting with a Jewish flag, with an Israeli flag, and when you're trying to intimidate them, and you burn their property. Okay, well, that's not okay.
Well, that's already illegal.
That's already illegal. Without their permission, it would be correctly labeled as anti-Semitic hate crime. So it's funny. It says the false claims online still garnered millions of views, and corrections posted alongside their assertions gained little traction. After the claim circulated for several days, Green, a far-right Republican from Georgia, repeated the assertion in an interview with Megyn Kelly, a conservative media personality with millions of followers. Israel is the only country I know of that has some sort of incredible influence and control over nearly every single one of my colleagues, she says. This is a congresswoman saying this, and it is, I don't know how to explain, Green said. This just came in from Judge McFadden. He had a ruling that you can burn any flag in the United States of America, including our own American flag, except you can't burn an Israeli flag in America. Now, but she's not quoting that correctly. He's saying if you take it away from an Israeli and burn it to try to incite violence. But you can't burn other people's property anyhow.
That's already illegal. Taking somebody's property and burning it.
Not okay. But here's the thing. Now they turn it into a hate crime. So here's the question I have for you, Mr. Austin Brewer. Okay? In the event that someone wants to burn an American flag and it belongs to them, is it okay to do that? Period.
Under the executive order, I think it would fall under the category if the purpose of doing it is to try to incite violence in a riot. Meaning if you're in your backyard and you want to burn the American flag, I don't think there's any context you can really get arrested for that. No, I wouldn't do it, and I don't agree with it. However, if you came in and somebody and you start going out into the street and you start burning the flag, you say, we want to burn down America. Let's start a riot.
You remember that movie, Gladiator, with Russell Crowe?
Oh, yeah.
Remember they said he was Maximus?
Yeah.
And they told him, they said, they can't kill you in the back room. They first have to destroy your name.
Exactly.
If they destroy your name first, then they can make you basically go away. If they kill you straight up and nobody knows what happened to you, you become a martyr.
Martyr, yep.
He said, so you don't want to do that. So what they're doing with the United States of America by allowing people to desecrate the flag and disrespect the country, everything else that we're doing, they're destroying the name of the United States. When you go to other countries right now, a lot of people really dislike the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
Because what's been
behavior
what
times.
They've been involved in.
But you see, like, the thing that's happening with Cracker Barrel, this entire restructuring of the company, entire restructuring of the restaurants, going in and turning it into like a yuppie Denny's. Nobody likes it. Nobody's been about it. Everybody that likes going to Cracker Barrel hates it. But again, it's like you just said, they pulled the shotguns off of the fireplaces.
Well, now the CEO is coming out and saying they did a very bad job in this transition.
Oh,
stock prices are down.
Bad job? Bad job's an understatement.
So I think what's going to happen is they're going to reevaluate what they're going to do.
They've only restructured or remodeled a few of them. And so I think as their like demo brands that they're going to roll out there, and
they're going to call it Crackle.
Yeah.
Sparkle for all the transgenders. Yeah, by the way, stupid. The rhetoric echoes, and this is still from the Times of Israel. I'm just going to let you guys read this yourself. A lot of people believe that the Protocols of the Elders of Zion is real. It was first published in Russia in the early 1900s. The rhetoric echoes, they're bringing it up, right when I brought that up. The rhetoric echoes anti-Semitic tropes that claim Israel holds sway over the American government, a common charge from those among the far right, including Congressman James Traficant. The claims are similar to age-old anti-Semitic conspiracies that a cabal of Jews pulls the strings of power from the shadows, a notion popularized by the anti-Semitic fabrication of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. This information, also shared to a lesser extent by leftist pro-Palestinian activists, is an example of the so-called horseshoe theory. The theory says the political spectrum is less of a straight line than a horseshoe shape, in which the far left and far right move toward each other as they get away from the center. I've never heard of that before. And, it's so interesting to me when I read this. It says, whether it realizes or not, Israel has made itself the villain. I agree with this. Has made itself the villain of the world in letting this Gaza war go on so long, Kelly said during an interview last month with Israel defender turned critic Piers Morgan. They have lost support among their dearest friends. The entire Democratic Party here in the United States has turned against them, and they're losing Republicans by the day here in America, she said. And I have to agree with that. I mean, this thing in Gaza, the starvation of millions of people, is unbelievable that it's happening right now. And it's an absolute travesty that the world is sitting back and allowing this to go on. Okay, what's your next story, Austin?
This is an interesting one. Now, this is a discussion on shingles. It says a dormant virus that emerges after decades, and here are the causes. You know, everybody knows pretty much what shingles is if you've ever had chicken pox. And a lot of times,
it's another herpes virus.
Right. When it goes into details as far as what happens, it can be under extreme stress and stuff like that. But one thing that they go in here, and I've talked about it so many times, is the lysine. The lysine is incredible for this. And that's why I want to remind everybody, because I saw this article, because more and more people are talking about it with, you know, HSV and with shingles and stuff like that. The lysine is incredible if you need to cover that on here. And
what's crazy here with the shingles and any kind of, you know, herpes thing like this, because of what they are, the lysine stops replication in the body.
Exactly right.
And I think you said you got to take 4 grams a day.
Everybody's been telling me it's like 4 grams a day.
That's the same thing
with shingles.
That's eight of our lysine products that we sell.
Yeah, eight capsules.
The 500
mg.
If you're going to do that, if you have HSV-1, that's very common, by the way. If you've had the chicken vaccine or chickenpox vaccine, you have HSV-1 running around your body, and pretty much everybody's had that. HSV-2 is much more serious. You said that it also works with HSV-2.
My research is showing that.
Yeah, but it's 4 grams a day. So it's funny because a lot of people have that. The shingles can cause severe eye problems, skin infections, muscle weakness, nervous system problems, hepatitis, sepsis, pneumonia, stroke. I remember years ago, I had a good dear friend of mine who's a professional speaker. He's passed away now. Zig Ziglar called me up and he says, "Man, what can I do? I've got shingles."
Yeah.
You know, and back then we didn't know about the lysine.
Right.
You know, now we know that we can treat that kind of protocol, you know, with the thing. It's just also manage stress. Chronic stress weakens the immunity. Practices such as my yoga. It's interesting. I got to be careful how I say this because there's family involved in this. I remember I knew a lady who had basically lied to her children about the divorce she'd had from their father. I'm not mentioning any names here. And suddenly one of the children who she was very close to went back to the court case and read the microfiche and the divorce and found out the mom had lied. And he called the mom, just raised Cain.
Yeah.
And the mom came down with shingles.
All stressed out.
Because she got all stressed out because all of a sudden, you know, the truth of what she had said came across. So stress will really tear you up as far as with shingles. So you got to sleep well, eat smart, stay active, and manage stress. Chronic stress weakens the immunity. That's so true.
Oh, yeah.
Practices such as yoga, or I would say prayer and meditation, prayer and other relaxation techniques can help.
Oh, yeah.
And then vaccination against shingles may be helpful to lower the risk. That's a complete lie because they're injecting that stuff into you. I saw these quote unquote vaccines for everything. It's ludicrous. It really is.
No,
keep your immune system strong.
It really is. And this is another article here too. It says, as the fox guarding the hen house, USDA puts ex-Tyson executive in charge of meat and poultry safety now in the United States. This is interesting. U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins announced new round of political appointments for the USDA. And basically, they're putting the guy ahead of it that was a senior leadership role at Tyson, where he played a key part at launching the company's highly contested climate-friendly beef called Brazen Beef, a brand that was pulled from shelves and accused of misleading customers with empty climate claims. And so they're putting this guy ahead of the USDA now, of the meat, poultry, and eggs, which is ironic because this is a revolving door we've seen so many times now. With the FDA, with the USDA, with Pfizer, with Tyson now, how this continually revolves. And it's quite annoying, actually.
Well, what they're doing is they go into this helm of these agencies, and they make all these laws, and they leave, and they go back to work for the very companies they were supposed to regulate. You know, we mentioned this before on the show, 60 Minutes, did a whole show on this, and it was called The Revolving Door of the Food and Drug Administration. You probably still pull it up online, but it's from many years ago. Oh, by the way, I want to read you this. Cracker Barrel admits they could have done a better job on the logo rebrand. Well, here's the thing. No, listen to this.
Like a 5-year-old designed it.
No, they got Uncle. This is Uncle. I didn't know the mascot was Uncle Herschel. He has his name.
That's the guy sitting there.
He's the guy sitting there in the rocking chair with his arm on a barrel.
Yeah.
Okay, Cracker Barrel. That's Uncle Herschel.
Okay.
I had no idea they had branded him.
I
Uncle
didn't know
Herschel.
He was branded name either.
It said Uncle Herschel, our mascot, will be returning on the menu. He's coming back now because they've got so much blowback. Stock in the Tennessee-based restaurant chain plummeted since the new logo, omitting Uncle Herschel leaning on a barrel, was released last week. Disgruntled fans bemoaning the changes in social media. Even a former designer for Cracker Barrel called the new modern corporate aesthetic brand suicide.
Oh, yeah.
This is Bud Light.
Oh, yeah.
This is Bud Light putting a transgender on the can.
On the can, yeah.
That's what this is. And what happened is, you go start digging into this a little bit further, Indiana-based burger chain Steak and Shake, used to work for those guys, also criticized the competing brand on social media, claiming their goal is just to delete the personality altogether and accusing Cracker Barrel, Julie Fleiss, Massino of wanting to just scrape it all away.
This is exactly what she wanted to do.
Massino initially defended the changes, telling ABC News, people like what we're doing. No, they don't.
Nobody
likes
it.
Idiot. Cracker Barrel needs to feel like Cracker Barrel for today and tomorrow. No, it doesn't. The things that you love, we're still here. We need people to choose us and want people to choose us. The company appeared to change their tune with the release of Monday's statement titled, Our Promise to You. In the last few days have shown us anything is how deeply people care about Cracker Barrel. We are truly grateful for your heartfelt voices. This is this DEI person writing this. So this is her spin. You've also known that we could have done a better job of what we've done. What has not changed, what will never change, is the values this company has. And that's a complete lie. We love seeing how much you care about our old timer, Uncle Herschel. We love him too.
I mean, look at the interior, dude. I mean, what kind of crap is that? A bunch of you know, boards probably from China with rolling pins on it. I mean, it's...
Well, former Republican Congressman candidate Robbie Starbuck pointed out on X that one of the Cracker Barrel's board members, Gilbert Davila, is the head of a DIA strategy firm and was a vice president working on diversity at Disney, and he is the one that is helping to put this all together.
There you go.
I mean, can you believe this?
This is Avery commented on it. She says, if I walk in a Cracker Barrel and it looks like this, I'm walking right back out. I can't believe they're remodeling it to make it look like a hillbilly Denny's.
Well, what everybody needs to do is they need to walk in, look around,
This sucks.
We're leaving now. Walk out. Which ties right together with trans actor T.S. Madison calling Snoop Dogg's homophobic for questioning why LGBT content is crammed into children's film.
He's blasted it multiple times. He said he's scared to take his kids to the movies.
Well, he's right. Because reality show host and actor T.S. Madison, I don't know why they're even making an issue out of this weirdo, joined the chorus of forced voices calling rapper Snoop Dogg homophobic for questioning why they're not putting, you know, grooming into children's films. The rapper revealed that his misgivings with LGBT content for children during a recent interview on its Giving podcast. The rapper referenced watching the Disney movie Lightyear with his grandchild and feeling uncomfortable when it showed same-sex kissing between two women.
Yeah.
Can you believe that, Austin?
No.
You have to go to
Disney,
you literally have to go to Disney now and watch the movie before you take your children to it.
Yeah, I know. How sad is that?
And yeah, he goes. I'm not going to say what he said, but he says, I'm going to use the word crap. Oh, crap. I didn't come in here for this crap. I just came to watch a blankety-blank movie, Snoop Dogg, recall thinking, it's messed up. He didn't say that either. He said something else. I'm, like, scared to go to the movies now. Y'all throwing me in the middle of blank that I don't have any answers for. These are kids, he added. We have to show that at this age, they're going to get asked questions, and I don't have an answer. This is, again, what we call the grooming Disney syndicate, and they groom these young kids. And, again, we've mentioned this before. When these children from ages 5 to 10, they're in a theta brainwave state, and they don't have the ability to say no to content they see.
Exactly.
They believe it's true, and they believe it's okay. So they see two lesbians kissing or two gay guys kissing or something really weird. They think it's okay, and that gets wired into their brain, especially, Austin, if you decide to buy the DVD or watch it over and over again on Netflix and give them control of the remote.
Yeah.
And now they're watching it over and over and over. Guys, be really careful on what you allow your children to watch. I'm a big advocate for DVDs. I am, Austin. You know I have a bunch of them.
I know you do.
You know, when your kids come over to my house – you know, I don't even have any of the Netflix stuff.
I know.
I don't have any subscriptions to any of that stuff. I let them watch DVDs, and I make sure I know which DVDs they're going to watch. And some of them, I'll say, no, that's too intense. I can't have you guys watch that. Kendall's so cute the other night. She goes, she wanted to watch, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And Hunter goes, well, there's some scary parts in there.
Yeah.
And Kendall goes, well, there are some scary parts. Well, let's watch it. And Hunter goes, I don't want to watch it. It was funny. And so they chose not to watch it.
Yeah.
Okay? But the point was, you know, that was the very first Pirates of the Caribbean, which is the best one they did, actually.
Yeah. Oh, that's the best
one. That was a great one. But, you know, but I find the whole thing very interesting about the whole stuff and these now this transgender getting all mad because somebody actually says something. See, Snoop Dogg, everybody knows this boy is not walking with Jesus.
Yeah, but okay, everybody knows, too, he pretty much speaks his mind
that,
as well.
But let me finish this quote a bit. So he's not a Christian.
Yeah.
As far as I know.
Yeah.
Unless he just talks like that. But the reality is he's a person who basically is secular, who's had enough of it.
Yeah.
And so they can't say to him, you're a homophobic Christian.
Yeah.
They can't say that. All of a sudden it's like, well, you're homophobic. Well, Yeah, but you're Snoop Dogg.
Yeah. Oh, this is great. Now gator season's in full effect in Florida.
Are you gonna like this one, guys?
Nice,
get ready.
Nice big one they just got.
Look at this thing.
I didn't see which lake they got it out of yet. I have to find out.
But you know what? This is the second heaviest one ever caught in Florida. But here, look at this. Yeah. It weighed 1,000 pounds.
Yeah.
But look at the mouth. That could swallow a human being whole.
Oh yeah, it's a big boy.
He doesn't even have to chew. Look at this.
This guy climbed it. Oh, that's a great photo.
They're saying it's 13 feet, but I think it's bigger than that.
That's about right. You just the tips, the tail's a little bit off the ground right there. It's probably about 13 feet.
Have you seen one this big in the water?
Mm-hmm.
You've seen them this big.
Yeah, I've seen them
this
big.
Couldn't
they're
catch
hard
one.
To get, man. They're hard.
Well, they're smart.
That gator's probably 90 to 100 years old, bro. That gator has seen a lot in this state. He's seen a lot of stuff, bro.
Now, I think you told me one time, they don't ever die. Something just kills them.
Correct. They don't die. They don't really have a set time. Like, well, gator turns 100 years old, he dies.
And they keep growing every single year.
Yeah, we hunt them out, though. Because you got to hunt them. You can't have this in residential waters and ponds and stuff. They eat everything. Not just humans. They eat everything. All the animals, they'll eat small cows. They'll eat people. They'll eat children. They'll eat dogs. These gators are very, very aggressive when they're this big.
We need to show that picture of you, you know, with that gator.
I got a bunch of them. I'm downloading.
Can you put one up?
I don't have anything on this computer.
Well, I have something. I'm going to send it to you. Can I text it to you? I have to email. Well, I can't email it to you. I don't have your email address in here. That's pathetic, isn't it? Can you put one of these up? I show it to you. I pull it up. Hang on a second. But we'll do that.
I missed my tags this year. I wish I would have got them. It'd been good. You got to get these things cleaned out. But another story here, too. Where's this ad?
Here's it. Well, I can't show you that picture right now because it's not part of the story. it's a crazy cat.
Oh, yeah. This is interesting. Total vape ban coming to Russia now.
I hope so.
Russia lawmakers are drafting a bill to ban the sale of electronic cigarettes, also known as vapes and related liquids. They said the post on Russian Max platform argued that vapes and e-cigarettes are extremely harmful to human health and cause to severe illness. Now, the thing about this is there's been enough research now showing that even these vapes are worse than regular tobacco usage, even like cigars, cigarettes and stuff like that. It's actually worse than it. And you get an enormous amount of synthetic nicotine, way more than you normally do with cigarettes. Because as I said before, you know, when you're vaping, you're sitting there continually hitting it every 5, 10, 15 minutes, constantly hitting it, constantly hitting, constantly hitting nicotine. Whereas a lot of times people smoke cigarettes, they go out for a cigarette break, they go 5, 10, 15 minutes, then they don't smoke again for an hour or two. And so it allows the body to, you know, push some of that nicotine out and process some of it. Whereas in this, what are you doing?
I'm gonna show this picture.
What are you doing?
Give me that middle
which,
camera.
Which photo did you show? Oh, that one.
can you see it on the screen, Rich?
That was years back. That was 2018 season.
There you go.
That was a good season.
Yeah,
we got a couple.
That's
good ones.
Awesome. You know, he just how long? That's 9 or 11 footer. I don't remember.
That one right there was. That one was 11-1. 11-3. 11-1 or 11-3.
Don't you have that head in your office?
Uh-huh. I got another head I got to pick up, too, from last season.
So when we tell you that Austin goes gator hunting, we just didn't want you to think we were making that kind of stuff up because we don't make up anything.
That's
on
a
the
big
show.
One. I wouldn't mind. The 13-footer, that's a trophy gator.
Would you have this whole body taxidermied?
Oh, gosh. That's some cash, bro. I don't know about that.
That'd be one heck of a.
Where you put it?
Yeah, put them under the pool table in here. I mean, have them coiled up.
I'd definitely get a head mount at least.
You know, it was so funny. If you had him coiled up under the pool table and you walked in here, you didn't know he was in here.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, he's scared.
Everybody walk in, he's scared all the time.
He's screaming all the time. Oh, by the way, Trump is deploying the National Guard, some people are saying, to cities ahead of a massive left-wing uprising over deep state indictments. Now, whether this comes true or not, I don't know, but he is deploying National Guard.
He hasn't done that.
I've got a friend of mine, and she's from D.C., and she says that they're there.
Oh, they said they've already arrested over 1,000 people now.
In D.C.
In D.C. for illicit behavior, violence. They've seized, like, almost 100 firearms.
And I heard also that they've taken some woman who basically, you know, said something to one of the troops, and then they threw her down and, you know, handcuffed her and hauled her off.
I don't know what she did.
Yeah, I don't either.
But I know the one guy threw the ham sandwich at the cop and he got arrested.
it wasn't
the best option. Don't be throwing ham sandwiches at law enforcement.
What it says, that blue cities are a battlegrounds, leftist stronghold, Chicago, New York City, L.A., and I'll throw Detroit in there, too, may erupt in violence with mobs attacking law enforcement infrastructure. Because remember, when Trump was in office the first time, this happened.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so maybe he knows something else is coming on. Military readiness versus civil unrest. Conservatives now support militarized policing due to frustration with blue city chaos through National Guard troops, maybe unequipped sidearms only against organized mobs. That's stupid. These are troops. They're not ill-equipped.
If they go to Chicago, they're not. Yeah, they're going to have M4s.
They're going to put M4s, yeah.
Yeah.
And it says, this is the deep state's last stand. Indicted operatives will fight desperately to avoid prosecution, evidenced by post-tactics like cover-ups with Epstein and Maxwell, raising risks of sabotage and prolonged civil arrest. So we'll see what happens with all this. We'll
Bro,
see.
Did you see some of the transcript with Maxwell again? Like all the stuff has gotten released on it?
It's all been changed.
Which is all stupid. It doesn't even make sense.
But it's a lot
of the guy interviews him, he goes, well, do you know if there's a list of anyone that got massages?
What?
Massages. And she goes, oh, no, there was never a list. I don't know of anybody. I don't know of anybody at any point in time that ever got massages. I don't know anything about it. I mean, I read a bunch of the transcript. I mean, it's a complete joke. I mean, it's a joke. Like, why are you in prison then, Maxwell? Why are you in prison for child trafficking? I don't recall any of this.
What it goes back to is the Warren Commission's report on the Kennedy assassination. Yeah. It was a complete joke. And the American population went insane over this. They were so angry. But what do you do? You know, there's a group of people, and we've talked about the bloodline families now, and we talked about it in depth, who sit around tables and determine the fate of the planet.
Yeah.
And they get their marching orders from the evil one. And the sad part about all this, we think, well, it's not that orchestrated. It's that orchestrated. COVID was, they worked on that COVID shot 25 years ago with DARPA.
Oh, yeah.
They had it in deep freezers all over the United States. Billions of vials of it. Billions. You can't produce billions of vials of a shot within a few years. It takes a lot longer than that.
A few years, a few months. I mean, as far as when they said they rolled it out, oh, we got the shot, now it's ready to go.
But you can't produce it because they injected 5 billion people, and you can't manufacture it that fast. They've got to incubate it. They've got to grow it. And so the crazy part about it, Austin, is it was kept in deep freezers for 20 years until they had a large enough amount, and then they released it.
Yep.
This whole thing was just a mess. By the way, and because of the COVID shot, I mentioned this last week, and now the major news is starting to report on it. Sudden deaths and incapacitation soar among COVID-jabbed airline pilots. Since 2021, deaths of younger air pilots has risen remarkably. Long-term disabilities have surged, and near-miss incidents at airports have skyrocketed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, something happened in 2021 that has jeopardized air travel safety, according to a disturbing report by Dr. Kevin Stillwagon, a retired airline pilot and immunological expert. Mounting evidence points to COVID-19 vaccinations at airlines acting under pressure from the U.S. government under that unbelievably blithering idiot Joe Biden, who wasn't making any decisions for anybody. He was completely brain dead, mandated or otherwise coerced their cockpit cabin and crew ground crews into taking the COVID shot. Since 2021, there's been a marked increase in deaths of younger airline pilots, while long-term disabilities for pilots have skyrocketed. All of this has been accompanied by an astronomical increase of near-miss incidents in the nation's airports. That also includes air traffic controllers, by the way. They're a mess. Incapacitations of pilots are definitely increasing, especially in the younger pilots. 40% increase in pilots dying early before mandatory retirement age of 65 in 2021, Stillwagon said. Starting in 2021, pilot long-term disabilities have tripled. He noted, prior to 2021, there was only one near miss at Washington National Airport, but after 2021, there are 28 near misses per year.
That's a lot, dude. That's a lot.
That's scary. That's a couple of misses a month.
Yeah.
Now, remember, if they're 500 or 600 feet away, they consider it a near miss.
There's
a reason for that, because when two planes are moving that fast, 500 feet ain't much.
That's nothing, dude. That's absolutely nothing.
You know, it's nothing. And so they got to be real careful. So it's interesting, because the problem with these pilots are you don't just produce them overnight. It takes decades. And when these pilots have 10, 20, 30, 40,000 hours of flight time, that's a lot of experience. It's pretty much nothing they haven't seen. And when you start injecting them, they start dying young. That's a real problem for replacement, because you just can't put a new one together in the next 3 or 4 weeks.
This is interesting here.
What you got?
Trump's proposing renaming the Department of Defense to its original name. He wants to change the name back to apparently what it used to be, the Department of War.
That's a little bit aggressive.
That's
isn't
a very aggressive situation that don't necessarily call for it. He said, Pete, you start off saying the Department of Defense. Somehow it didn't sound good to me. Defense? What are we, defense? Why are we defense? It used to be called the Department of War. That's a stronger sound. I think we need to bring it back to that. So it's coming soon. Trump said the Department of War sounds better than the Department of Defense.
Well, why don't we name it the Department of Unprovoked War?
Department of Direct Action Elements. We are going on the offense all the time. I mean, we kind of do. That's kind of a bubblegum story for you guys. I saw that. Department of War.
It's intimidating.
Yeah,
that's the point.
It's scary. As if the U.S. military is not intimidating enough with our fleet of F-35s and stealth bombers,
now they're gonna, the other guys are going to say, "I'm terrified. This is awful." They're calling for who's next on our list? I tell you what it was. Though it will scare people.
Department of War. Yeah. Don't piss us
department,
off.
Yeah.
We're in a bad mood today. Don't get on the bad side. This is another article here, too. This is crazy. It says, why processed foods may be secretly raising your blood pressure. Researchers identify processed food chemicals across your brain barrier and triggers high blood pressure by activating the nervous system. Study conducted on laboratory rats over 12 weeks revealed that inorganic phosphates may contribute to hypertension by stimulating the release of a chemical called fibroblast growth factor. And this is an interesting article, and this could lead to a lot of the reasons why they are saying now so many people are having high blood pressure problems, especially when you're eating ultra-processed foods. And it can be all the things from chips to cookies to candy to ice cream to sodas. And a lot of these have preservatives in them, flavor enhancers that are phosphate additives, and they said it's being directly linked to high blood pressure now. So something to be aware of if you're fighting that. If you're maintaining healthy blood pressure, be careful of the highly processed foods, because a lot of these phosphates, they're saying that are higher amounts of saturated fat and sugar is also increasing blood pressure in the body.
Processed foods will kill you quick.
They will.
I got a funny story.
Let's hear it.
Michael Richards. Kramer.
Kramer.
From Seinfeld.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem with these guys are, you know, they've been off the air for 20 years, over 20 years. And so everybody still thinks he looks like he does from 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Because Seinfeld lives into perpetuity.
Well, you don't age in Seinfeld.
He's just always staying young.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong, I like Kramer.
He was funny.
But about 20 years ago, he was doing a comedy stint, and he basically got up in there, and he had a heckler. And the heckler basically apparently said some pretty bad things, and Kramer went racist on him.
Did he really?
Well, started calling him names, yeah. And so now he's been, you know, when he dropped the N-word and caused an uproar that has never ended.
On stage?
On stage.
Oh, gosh.
Last year, Richard attempted a comeback with a memoir called Entrances and Exits. His publicity tour started with promise, but he turned to Fox News' Jesse Waters, who's a hard right-wing conservative, for an interview, and it all went south. The book was a huge flop. The comedy tour named for the book starting at a handful of West Coast clubs. The irony of Richard's downfall, of course, is that Seinfeld and Kramer character live on in endless reruns around the world. Richards is extremely wealthy from that run, but he has no career since then, unlike Jerry Seinfeld, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Jason Alexander continue to work.
Yeah.
Richards apologized for his outburst as soon as it happened, and again in the book. But the appearance on Fox News set him up in the worst light possible, which is what they'd love to do, since Water is an unrepentant right-winger with very shocking and different beliefs than most Seinfeld fans. Remains to see how Richards will be greeted on his tour or on more dates, especially in major cities. This does remind me of when Bill Cosby tried to make a comeback after his scandals and was met with intense curiosity and scorn. Now, I know Bill Cosby. I told you guys that. I spent the day with him one time. And, boy, bigger racist I've never met in my life. That guy was awful. But the reality, I don't think that Michael Richards is a racist. I just think he got really mad on the platform and lost control and said something he should not have said.
Yeah. They're right, though. He's never had much of a career since Seinfeld.
Well, now he was doing great on stand-up comedy, and then all of a sudden he got tattooed like that. That was the end of it. And here's the thing with a heckler. You got to just ignore these people or have security told in advance just to remove them from the audience.
That's the best thing to do.
Just have them say, you need to leave. It's like that one movie. I love that one movie. It's about the Four Seasons. And he has, at the end of the movie, he's basically, his daughter is running around with the drug dude, right? So he sends this big mafiosa guy up to get the daughter. And this guy's like 6'8", about 400 pounds. And so all of a sudden, this drug guy that his daughter is with, right? He goes, where are you going with my girlfriend? And the big drug guy, the big mafia guy, 400 pounds, 6'6", looks at him and says, be quiet before I snap your neck. So
stay in your lane, brother.
Stay in your lane. Yeah. In other words, this isn't about you right now. She's going to go see her daddy. And what's funny is if you have that kind of guy who looks like that sitting in the club with you as your bodyguard, you wonder where I was going to segue with this, and he says, it's time for you to step out. They're going to step out really fast.
You just need to go ahead and, it's time for you to leave.
When a huge person walks up to you like that, who can just kind of pick you up and walk out with you, you have the tendency.
Pick you up and walk out.
They can.
There was one, there's a video, I don't have it on here, there's a video, and it was a, it was like the bar fight that was starting. Big old security was there, and this kid was bowing up on security, and security literally grabbed him by the arms and picked him up and carried him out and threw him out. And I was like, oh, that was embarrassing. Like, I mean, he just picked him up, straight picked him up. The guy's fighting him, so he just throws him out the door.
I remember one time I was in a sparring match. You know, it was a controlled sparring match. And I remember the guy I was sparring with was about 300 pounds.
Like, yeah.
His nickname was Bear.
Yeah.
And I hit him as hard as I could. We're wearing gloves. And he didn't even move. And I thought to myself, this is not good. And but when the people are that big and that tall and that strong, you kind of just kind of need to walk away real quick before you get embarrassed.
Yeah, there's certain times you get in a fight. There's certain times just
what did Kenny Rogers say? Sometimes you got to know when to hold them, and sometimes you got to know when to run. It's a fact. That's a true story.
That's funny.
All right, what do you think? So would you go? Let me ask you a question. Would you go see Michael Richards if you knew he was going to be local and at a comedy club? If you knew it was going to be a pretty clean show,
I probably would. I don't know.
I think I would too.
Yeah, I'd be curious. He's funny in Seinfeld.
Yeah,
I mean, he was really funny.
I think I would actually go see him.
Yeah,
and see how he did. But I guarantee you this time he's going to have people in there as far as escorting people out.
Oh, I'm sure. This is another article, too. Ketamine prescription surged 500%.
Be careful with this stuff, guys.
I'm just bringing it up. 500%, despite little evidence for chronic pain. New research has raised doubts about ketamine's role in chronic pain and treatment and its safety. They said now it's skyrocketed more than 500% in the last 5 years now. They said we encourage clinicians to have frank discussions with their patients about uncertain benefits and potentials for distressing side effects. Now, the one was the one Friends actor, didn't he die on ketamine?
I think that was the one Friends actor, Matthew Perry.
Yeah.
Well, what happened is I think he overdosed on it and then he drowned in his hot tub.
He had a prescription for it, though.
But he had a long time drug abuse problem.
I know, but what I'm saying is, that was prescription ketamine.
Yeah.
And so you got to be really careful with this
now,
stuff.
Now, I have heard people talk about microdosing it and getting good results, but here's the problem I have with anything, like taking the ayahuasca and all the other things. When you start doing that and you start changing your mind and the way your mind works, you know, in some cases, it messes you up.
Well, ketamine's not nearly as strong as ayahuasca and all that, dude.
Yeah, but if you get too much of it, it'll kill you, Austin.
Well, yeah, that is true. Well, too much of anything can kill you as far as drugs.
Except for purple sticks.
Yeah, or collagen.
but what was
crazy. They're saying it's a growing demand amid the opioid crisis. They said ketamine highlights the medical community's search for alternative pain management amid the opioid crisis. So I guess they're saying here that it is better and safer as far as using it as a pain reliever if you need it than it is on like OxyContin.
I knew a lady who was trying to open a clinic with us, and she had gone through multiple treatments of the ketamine.
Yeah.
And she said she had good results with it. I'm not recommending it. I'm just telling you because
you start looking at, do they want to use ketamine or you want to use OxyContin?
Yeah. Well,
the opioids are really rough.
I had a friend of mine, he wanted to do the ayahuasca, and he went down to Costa Rica to get it done, and I had warned him not to do it. Now, let me say something to you really quickly. We don't normally go esoteric on a show like this because it's got a lot of other stuff we're covering. But what happens is when you open a portal like that and you go through a portal because you're putting something into your brain and you see into another dimension, when you open that portal, the other dimension, and we've talked about this, how, you know, when we did the show a few months ago and we talked about the yin and the yang and the space fence and how we go in and out of other dimensions. When you open that other dimension up, the things on the other side of the dimensions, on the other side of this world we can't see into, they can't find their way to you either. There's like a veil, like, you know, wax paper between us. They can't see past that. When you poke a hole in that wax paper and you go into another dimension and you look around, you have a hole in that wax paper. It's kind of like leaving breadcrumbs. And in some cases, according to some of the research that I've done, it allows these entities to find you again in your dimension. I had a friend of mine who did this, and he ended up going down to, like I said, Costa Rica, and his entire career completely dumped out, Austin.
Really?
Ended up in a massive lawsuit, millions of dollars in legal fees. It was unbelievable.
I don't know if that's necessarily related to that, though.
Oh, he started bringing witches on. I mean, he had some weird stuff happen with him, and you think, well, how do you know? When you open up the dark side and you let these entities have a latch onto you, who knows what they're going to do to you? So be very, very careful when you start experimenting with these types of drugs. Just be very, very, very careful. And I recommend that you don't do it. I recommend that you use B-complex, 5-HTP. I recommend that you use omega-3 fats, that you do things that are going to be healthy for your brain. And, you know, get some counseling from a Christian counselor, not some secular mess, and realize and get some help. But, you know, when you start messing with brain chemistry and seeing in other dimensions – and seeing things, it can do it.
Well, and the thing is, too, I mean, you also got to look at what your diet is and everything else. We talk about it so many times. If you're having issues and you're down a lot, you probably don't have a deficiency in Zoloft or Paxil. I mean, I'm not saying that those drugs can't be useful for a certain purpose, but in most cases, look and see what you're doing with your B-complex. Are you taking enough B vitamins? You get enough omega-3? And there's another one here. It says ultra-processed foods. Are they making you depressed? They're linking now ultra-processed foods to mental health issues.
Well, because of deficiencies.
Because of deficiencies and because of what is in them and how they continually overstimulate the brain with MSG. And they cause the body to be so excited, the brain to be so excited, that it causes the body to be actually become addicted to this food. And then the problem is the food has no nourishment value to it. Zero. I mean, there's no positive aspect of, you know, ramen noodles. Other than, I mean, I guess it would keep you alive for a short period of time.
Well, because they have calories and carbohydrates, they'll keep you alive, but they won't sustain health.
Right. There you go. Well said.
You know, and that's the problem. And you're right, though. If you've got a headache, you don't have a deficiency of aspirin or Tylenol.
No.
If you've got a problem with depression, you don't have a deficiency of these other types of drugs. Usually there's something going on from a nutritional imbalance. Now, every once in a while, somebody will have a brain trauma or something will happen to them. You see it with NFL players, and they get really messed up for the – we covered that a few weeks ago.
Sometimes those drugs,
they're necessary.
Yeah.
But don't be using, you know, it's a kid, like a child who has ADD or ADHD. That child does not have a deficiency of Ritalin or Adderall, Austin.
No.
And in many cases, it's red dyes and blue dyes and blood sugar
imbalances.
High fructose corn syrup. And so why don't you change the diet of the child first before you put them on a Schedule II drug in the same category with morphine?
Yeah.
I mean, Ritalin and Adderall, they're Schedule II drugs, guys. They're strong.
Like the Children's Chewable and the cod liver oil. Those two do wonders as far as for helping out with behavioral problems in children. I've seen it many a times.
But, you know, drugs
need to be there for the last ditch resort, not the first phase.
I always say that when we do the seminars. I still say it on this show. You know, like you just said, don't make your first course of action with a child with ADD or ADHD, putting them on a Schedule II drug. Why don't you change their diet first? Oh, but there's a problem with that. It takes work.
Well, that's true.
The parent has to change the diet.
That's very true.
And that means the parent has to get the junk out of the house.
Yeah.
That means another thing. The parent's probably also eating the junk.
They don't want to cut the junk out of their diet.
They don't want to cut that out of their diet.
There you go.
You know, so you think, well, I'll eat what I want to eat. I don't care. But yeah, go ahead and do that. Then now teach that child. The Bible says train up your child in the way they should go. When they're old, they'll not depart from it. You teach them to eat junk all of their life because you're eating junk all of their life. I had a friend of mine, and it was crazy. She ended up having a kid, and she'd gained a bunch of weight in her marriage. She gained 120 pounds, ended up having to have a gastric sleeve done, and she lost 120 pounds. Her husband also gained up to like 400 pounds, and then they had a little boy, and that little boy immediately became obese because they're feeding him the same foods. Yep. And even after she had the gastric sleeve, she was still eating junk all the time, and then her hair started falling out from a lack of protein and nutrients. I'm not making this up. And you can lose weight by restricting caloric intake, Austin, but you lose your health along with it because you start tapping into your mineral reserves and protein reserves and your hair starts falling out and everything else.
Well, and this is what ties into it here. It says a 2022 meta-analysis found a link between ultra-processed food consumption and mental health. Those with higher UPF, ultra-processed food intake, had a 53% greater likelihood of experiencing symptoms of both depression and anxiety. When examined separately, the risks were still high. 44% were depression, 48% were anxiety. Researchers showed the high consumption of the artificial sweeteners such as aspartame with flavor enhancers such as MSG, I just said that, both common in almost all UPS, disrupts neurotransmitters involved in mood regulation, including serotonin, dopamine, and norepinephrine. Various pathways may explain the connection of depression and anxiety, including increased inflammation and changes to the gut microbe.
And they're talking about aspartame right now.
Oh, yeah.
Aspartame's been linked to brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, optic nerve degradation. This list just goes on and on. I wrote an entire article on it called Aspartame, A Chronicle of Crime. And the crazy part about this is Dr. Russell Blaylock, who I know, good man, he wrote a book that's called Excitotoxins, the Taste That Kills.
Yeah. It says, look, these UPFs are packed with additives that boost flavor and appearance, making them hard to resist and potentially addictive. Some of these additives interfere with the brain's involvement in addiction, such as the hippocampus. It says these foods are engineered to be hyper-palatable, making whole foods seem less exciting. I've seen that so many times. You give these kids ultra-processed food all the time, and then you want to feed them, like, you know, green beans and chicken or rice.
They're like,
this is trash. All my chicken nuggets and my ketchup with my high fructose corn syrup.
They look at the food and they go, that's disgusting.
Disgusting.
I know a little girl that does that. And because you're trying to feed them something healthy. And the crazy part about it is they allow the glutamic acid, which is an excitotoxin, allows too much calcium to influx into the neural cells. That's one of the reasons it makes things taste so good. And when it does that, it kills the brain cells. It will actually eat holes in the brain. according to Dr. Russell Blaylock in the book, Excitotoxin, the Taste It Kills. And you could get that book online. I'm sure it's probably going to be used probably for 99 cents. But it's a great book to read. And after I read that book, that's when I contacted him. I told him what a great job he had done on it.
And here's some tips they said as far as with children. Said transition gradually, starting by replacing one processed meal or snack per day with a whole food alternative. Adding healthy options rather than eliminating favorites can make the change feel more manageable and less restrictive. That is true with kids. If you try to go cold turkey and all you've been feeding them is ice cream and, you know, Pop-Tarts and cereal, and all of a sudden you're eating green beans, chicken, and rice now, you're going to have a fight on your hands with kids with that.
So, well, you know, it's funny. A lot of times in third world countries, people live on really, really raw milk and raw food.
Oh, I know.
And they get real healthy and real strong. And then they learn how to eat the right kind of foods. And then when they come to this country and they have ultra-processed milk,
that's
unbelievably toxic. And so these foods, these UPFs, need to be labeled as toxic.
They do.
They need to have a warning label on
them. Same way we do cigarettes.
Yeah.
This product's known to cause cancer. This product is addictive. They need to have it on there. And it says, cook more meals at home. Use simple recipes to control ingredients and avoid additives. This is huge. Prepare meals in bulk and freezer portions to reduce reliance on packaged foods. Quick prep methods such as sheet pan dinners and slow cookers and Instapots can save time. That's true. I use that all the time. And it saves you a boatload of money.
It does.
You cook at home, it will save you a tremendous amount of money in your budget.
Eating out's expensive.
It is. I mean, I get it. Like, sometimes it's nice to go to a nice restaurant, get a nice steak, you know, have a nice wild-caught. Over the weekend, we went to a restaurant that had wild-caught salmon from Alaska. Full wild-caught salmon.
That's great.
It was so juicy. It was so full and colorful. And the flavor was so rich. And I told the guy, I said, this is wild. I could tell you, oh, yeah, this is wild. It's one of our number one things we sell here.
You know, it's funny because I remember a few years ago we went over to a Sheraton over in Clearwater.
Yeah.
And because we're platinum or whatever now, it's titanium or whatever with Marriott. I remember I was looking at their – they had smoked salmon. I think you were with me.
I was with you.
And the plate had orange liquid all over it.
Yeah, like just dye.
They had dyed the fish.
Yeah.
And the fish was bleeding the dye onto the plate.
And then
you start looking at these wild-caught salmon. They don't do that.
No, they don't
do
that.
But when you get farm-raised salmon, it's not orange.
It's just gray. It's a gray-white fish. And so what they do is they actually have to dye it and put different type of stabilizing chemicals so it'll hold it so they can keep the fish looking
the
like
reason
salmon.
That it's pink is because it eats so much shrimp.
Correct.
And other types of crustaceans that have that type of dyes in it. So it's really, really good. By the way, Think Tank urges Democrats to drop 45 terms that turn off people that are basically not woke. So now they're saying the problem that nobody wants to listen to you guys for is because of the words that you use and the things that you say. In other words, what you have to do is you have to say, you know, they say you don't use the words like privilege because it's white privilege. Okay? You don't use dialoguing. Oh, God. The one I can't stand is, I'm going to reach out to you. Why don't you just call me? I'm going to reach out to you. Triggering, microaggression, okay? Progressive stack. I don't even know what that is. Centering, safe space, holding space, body shaming. And they're saying, don't use these types of, you know, words if you're trying to talk to a person who's a conservative, because you're just going to trigger them. Among the other blacklisted terms are privilege and violence and dialoguing and triggering and holding space and body shaming, overt and window, essential strengths, radical transparency, stakeholders, the unhoused. Instead of homeless, they're the unhoused.
Unhoused?
Yeah. Food insecurity. Yeah. You know what's funny to me? And I'm going to say this. You know, when I go over to, like, you know, Ybor City, and I get, you know, spanakopita. And when I see there's a guy, his name's Marcus now, and he's out there, I always buy him food. Now, you know how many times I've ever seen these radical people come in there, leftists that you can pick them out at a restaurant. You know how many times I've ever seen them buy something for these people that are homeless and bring them food?
Probably never.
Zero. Yeah. I've never seen it. In fact, quite frankly, I'm the only person I ever see that does that. And the sad part about it is they want to talk about the unhoused.
Yeah, I know.
Why don't you – they also call them the unfed, right? Well, why don't you feed them?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if you're going to complain about it, do something about it.
And then Bill Maher, you know, I don't really like a lot of the stuff that he says, but he's saying the same thing. He says Democrats must choose sanity over wokeness now. You know, Bill, of course, everything he says is scripted, by the way. Bill Maher continues to carve out a unique position as a leftist who openly challenges the woke left from within his own party. As I've pointed out before, Bill Maher might be a leftist, but he's spoken out repeatedly against the woke left, and that's a good thing. And I hope it helps move the party away from the crazy. But it's not working yet. But dare to dream. Yet his critics have been sharp and unrelenting, exposing the destructive elements that have been taken hold of the portions of the Democratic Party. Yet Maher's disdain for the woke left is not just a comic disdain. It's rooted in a deep frustration with how the progressive wing is unraveling the party and the nation. Whether it's calling out the ridiculous outage over the Sidney Sweeney ads, listen to this, or admitting that President Donald Trump was right about tariffs, Maher has shown an ability to be honest about the issues without blindly following the party line, which I'll give him credit for that, and I've quoted him many times. But that Sidney Sweeney thing, Austin, you talk about backfiring.
Only
12%, and they're all the woke weirdos, are agreeing about her not being in the Gene ads. Everybody else thinks it was great. It means 88% of the country, we almost got an A on this one, by the way, says, okay, we like Sweeney because she looks great, and we like the ad. Whole lot better than what Cracker Barrel's trying to do.
Oh, Cracker Barrel's just, they stepped in their own just crap.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't understand what they were even, I don't know who in that actually thought this was going to be a good idea.
But, I mean, well, it's the woke people who they put in. See, the problem is when you bring these leftists into the administration because BlackRock deems it so.
That's true.
Right,
you don't have a choice.
You don't have a choice. So they bring somebody in, and basically Larry Fink says, we're going to wake up and cause everybody to go woke. We're going to bring DEI initiatives into every single corporation in the United States. They want to destroy the very fabric of our society. That's what they're doing with Cracker Barrel. That's what they don't want right-wing Cracker Barrel with shotguns hanging on the wall. They don't want that.
Yeah.
They want to have a rolling pin and make it look like, you know, a Denny's and change the name and call itself Crackle instead of Cracker Barrel.
Crackle.
You know, that way all the transgenders will love it. And, you know, and it goes to that level, and they do the same thing that we mentioned at the beginning of the show that Bud Light did. They destroy their own brand. And Bud Light's never recovered, Austin.
No, they still haven't. No redneck will drink it anymore. Nobody I know in Florida will drink Bud Light. Nobody touches it. I mean, but a lot of the stores have massively cut down on their inventory on it. They don't want it either. And that's the funny part about it at all.
Oh, NFL team faces backlash after introducing male cheerleaders.
Oh, I heard about that. That was a big,
Funny. This is funny. I guess they were doing it for the gay boys. I don't know what they're doing it for. But they're not doing it for the redneck white boys that are not drinking Bud Light.
This NFL, but I don't know where they're going.
No offense to these guys. I mean, you know, I don't really see a point. And I know if you're a male cheerleader, you're on a college team or whatever. I'm not talking about you. The Minnesota Vikings are facing fierce criticism after prominently featuring male cheerleaders on their social media and official team website. The team's cheer page also lists them alongside female members without distinction. While the NFL teams have previously had men in supporting cheer roles, usually for stunts and lifts, this move goes further. So I guess they're going to have those little pom-poms now.
No, they did. They put them in that role of like the dancing and stuff.
No, they did
not. Yeah, they did. I've
known
cheerleaders in college that ran bass and everything as far as lifting the girls.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm okay with that.
No, they put them in like the strutting around dancing part. It was pretty ridiculous. I don't know what they were thinking.
One person said, thank God I'm an Eagles fan, one wrote. Another commented, more dudes in women's spaces. One user added, you never tire of trying to force us to pretend that this is a product that people want. This is why the Vikings have no Super Bowls, another fan posted. And, you know, blankety blank to the Vikings, I'm done, one wrote. The backlash comes at a time when consumers are voicing frustration against corporations that ignore what they want and push leftist ideology.
Exactly right.
And it lists the same thing again. It says, by contrast, Disney's live action Snow White and Bud Light's Dylan Mulvaney campaign became cautionary tales. Fans and consumers have rewarded brands like American Eagle for using Sidney Sweeney in their advertising, which has been interpreted as a rejection of wokeness, which it is exactly what that is. Yeah. And then it puts right into the trending in this article, Cracker Barrel, okay, releases desperate damage control statement. The new look, the Vikings cheer squad, has plenty of fans online, but whether the fans want to watch football is debatable. So, you know, what's funny to me, it's like, you know, and how do I say this in a nice way? It used to be Florida State really picked good-looking cheerleaders. They did. But because of DEI and because of diversity, they don't necessarily do that anymore. And you think, well, this is a terrible thing to say. It's sexist. I'm just making a statement that's true. Now, whether you think it's sexist or not sexist, or you think I've gone off the deep end, it doesn't make any difference to me. But, you know, when I go up there now and I watch this and I'm like, okay, because it was always the best people in the best shape were the cheerleaders or whatever they were doing, and it's not true anymore like that. And, you know, so to me, I don't like that everybody gets a participation trophy.
Well, no.
You put the best of the best.
High skill set, the best of the best. Yeah, I mean, you're top-tier football team.
Yeah.
Bring your best at everything.
Yeah, bring your A game. And that's how I see it now. Don't start on me. I don't want to hear it. Don't send any letters on this. Don't want to hear it. But to me, oh, God, there's a picture of this guy who's cheerleading. He looks like a female. And you're right. He's got pom-poms.
I told you.
He's got long hair.
I wasn't making it up.
This is disgusting. I'm not even going to put that on. I'm not going to put that on the screen.
Yes.
No. Wow. He looks like he's a transgender.
You're funny, dude.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
That's strange, isn't it?
No, it's not. Why do you think they do anything different than this?
Well, you got to remember, in Hollywood, a lot of the women out there are women. Remember?
God.
If they can, no, listen to me. If they can put a contestant in the Miss Universe contest who's a dude.
That's true.
And you can't tell the difference. That's pretty scary. And the problem is when you have an alpha male, like Austin or me, and you see a woman that you think is pretty, and all of a sudden you realize it ain't a woman, it bothers us. You know, because we're like normal. And so I don't like looking at people and thinking they're one thing and they're something totally else and you've been deceived. And so when these Hollywood actresses aren't women and they're men and they don't tell anybody, it's kind of strange. And there have been a lot of rumors about a lot of those actresses over the years.
One last story.
We're almost out of time.
Ultra-processed foods, since I'm going to kick at that today, make you age faster now. Monash University found consuming ultra-processed food speeds up biological aging. Researchers found that for every 10% increase in ultra-processed foods, a person is 0.21 years biologically older. And
wow.
That's 2.4 months for every 10% increase. So essentially, the journal Age and Aging has found consuming ultra-processed foods like carbonated drinks, chips, ice cream increases a person's biological age significantly. Additionally, the participants who had a 68 to 100% ultra-processed food diet were 0.86 years biologically older when compared to the participants who had less than 30.
I think it's much greater than that.
I think it is, too. But that's showing you that this is how they're actually just looking at it and they're measuring it, and it's still significant.
No, here's what I think. I think if you have, and I've seen this with my own class when I go to class reunions, when you walk in and everybody looks 25 years older than you.
Especially all the fried food does this a
okay,
lot.
Then you know that it's not 0.86 years older. It's about 20 years old.
I'm curious if the 0.86, if that's on a range scale of like every year or how they're scaling that. Because there's no way.
They're not saying that. That's not accurate. It's because I've seen it. Because, you know, you have people who don't take care of themselves and they age really, really fast. And you have people who take care of themselves and their biological age is much, much lower.
It's true.
You may have a 50-year-old who has a biological age of 25.
Yeah.
Because they've taken care of themselves
the whole
time.
Health and nutrients and lifestyle and environmental influences are really, really good.
Yeah, and the stress.
Yeah.
You know, stress ages you very, very quickly. You start eating these ultra-processed foods and the MSG and all the rest, and you don't take your supplements, you're going to age very, very quickly, period.
That's exactly right.
I've seen it over and over again. And then you die young.
Yeah.
You know, you do. You start dying of all these different types of diseases in your 20s and 30s and 40s, especially with that COVID shot causing a suppression of the immune system.
That was the goal, wasn't it?
The whole goal was eugenics. Oh, by the way, keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. You know, we like to joke around on the show a lot, but you know, one thing we don't want to joke about is our relationship with God and with Jesus, because, you know, he's the author, he's the finisher, he's the perfecter of our faith, and we can do all things through him. Realize that God is God, and that he built the universe, and he basically is in control, and he's omnipresent. He knows when you're going to be born, he knows when you're going to die, before it ever happens. So it's a good thing to have a good relationship with him all the days of your life, and that you can walk with him forever. It's very, very important that you do that. Pray on a regular basis. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for getting your supplements through Health Masters. And thank you for supporting us through prayer. I love it when you guys pray for us because I can really feel the difference. And always try to stay as frosty as you can and be aware of what's going on in the world and try to stand against it. Because what we need to do is always stand for the right side, Austin.
Exactly right. And while you're here, also stay as healthy as you can get.
Well, no, because you know, because
you're strong and healthy.
Well, because if you're going to serve God all the days of your life and you get sick as a dog when you're 20 years old and you basically are debilitated for the rest of your life, what does that do? That's awful.
Sounds horrible.
It sounds horrible, yeah. And so that's no good. But I know people that get sick in their teenage years and 20 years old and they have all kinds of health problems and mental health problems because they don't have enough nutrients, the B vitamins. The vitamin C, the D3, which has been shown to basically really help eliminate seasonal affective disorder. All these different nutrients work to keep the brain healthy and to keep the body healthy and to keep you as young as you possibly can stay so you can be more effective and do more things for God. That's how I see it, Austin.
And that's why the GHI cleanse is so good at reducing inflammation in the body.
I take that every day.
So, my friends, you need anything? Team Health Masters, website's running hot. You guys need anything, give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. And be sure to check out the podcast, thebrowershow.com. Get updates on here. Sign up for the weekly newsletter so you get the information right to your email every single day. You guys have a fantastic evening, my friends. We'll talk to you on this show tomorrow, as always.
Oh, by the way, don't burn the American flag. Just a heads up.
Yes.